Congratulations, Colorado Springs. Now, if you'd like to feature your business on the Lunchbox, all you have to do is give us an email at info@blazin985.com. That's it. info@blazin985.com. Somebody will be answering you, and you never know. You'll be hearing with Mike on the Lunchbox, just like you.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like you. Now, you can't possibly... Now, you said that you're the Colorado Springs...
Astronomical Society.
Is mostly volunteer based.
We're all volunteer
based. Volunteer based, okay.
Yeah,
and else. So, who do you work with?
Well, you know, as I said, we have currently about 200 total members in our club, and anybody can join at csastro.org is our website that people can go and find out more about us and see where we're going. But we work within our community, and, you know, not so much so this year since the COVID-19 stuff, we haven't been able to do these events. But Florissant Fossil Beds, we do monthly events out there at their visitor center. And we'd go to Garden of the Gods Visitor Center. Challenger Learning Center has a new facility with District 20 school district out there off of Research Parkway and Black Forest Road in Wolf Creek subdivision. And we were going to start doing some star parties out there this year. Now it'll be next year. So Challenger Learning Center has some cool stuff out there. Of course, the U.S. Air Force Academy.
Okay.
We've been working with the National Space Science Technology Institute, the Mobile Earth Observatory.
Right. What about those guys? You work with those guys at all?
We do sometimes. I work for the U.S. Space Force, and go on base on a regular basis at Peterson Air Force Base, we have a Star Labs that we support out there. They bring in kids from disadvantaged schools and do STEM, STEAM type activities, science, technology, engineering, math.
Yes, sir.
And then, of course, to go along with that, you know, we support the local school districts. You know, going into whether it's elementary, middle, high school, even the community colleges, they'll contact us and say, hey, we want to do a family STEAM night we want to have a star party outside our school. And just like what we said about, you know, doing these star parties, they contact us, we coordinate it, we schedule it, and we'll come out with our telescopes and support these Girl Scouts as well as the Scouts as well.
I like that. I like
any
that.
Of these community organizations that are looking for support and encouraging their children or the community is in general to be interested in science and get involved in science, technology, engineering, and math, even if it's just for a hobby.
I like that. Now, how has COVID helped or hurt you this year?
It's helped, yeah, and it's hurt.
Okay.
You know, of course, because of the COVID restrictions, and we follow the local, state, and national guidelines on protecting ourselves as well as others from potentially getting this virus. We've had to cancel almost 60 or more different events this year. I schedule all of the events around January or before every year, and we weren't able to do any of these because they required people putting their eyes up against an eyepiece and breathing on telescopes, and that just isn't conducive for safe practices. So for the most part, we've had to cancel our events. But what we have been able to do as an alternative then is to look at the different meeting software. We use GoToMeeting software for ours to set up virtual events online that people can come online and we'll show views of the night sky, or we'll do an activity. We'll do speaking events where we'll talk about landing on Mars or we just had International Observe the Moon Night last Saturday, and I did a Oreo cookie Learn the Moon Phases activity online.
Oh, that sounds really cool.
these are things that we're discovering more now that we're kind of being forced into the situation.
Exactly.
That we can actually do these activities online and support our community where we would ordinarily travel to where they are, since we're a mobile outreach kind of organization.
Now, have you are you taping these? That way they can go to your website and see them at a later date?
The one for International Observe the Moon Night has actually been recorded in it,
okay.
And we will be posting it on our Facebook page. We have been trying to do more of the recording of events and putting them on there. That we're working through some of the technological challenges because we've never dealt with trying to get a broadcast and go live on Facebook, for example, and learning what we have to do and it's kind of a challenge even to hook up a telescope to a camera and then connect that to a broadcast and then to YouTube or Facebook.
But you figured it out, though, didn't you?
We are figuring it
out. You are. Now, are you going to be doing any of that for the Cool Science Festival where you're broadcasting?
I think right now we're going to just do the no-touch. The MISO folks are going to be connecting, and we might connect up to theirs and collaborating with their broadcast on Facebook Live.
All right. Now, if anybody couldn't have joined us earlier in the show today, all right, then please let everybody know what you're doing with the Cool Science Festival again, please.
We're actually doing a lot. On Saturday, October 10th, we're going to be out at Garden of the Gods Visitor Center from around noon until 7 p.m. We'll do solar observing and lots of other activities during the daytime. And then after the sun sets, we're going to try to be pointing a different telescope at the planets. Then also, in addition to that, I'm going to be doing a Mars observing event. That's going to be online. I'm going to try to do an online broadcast for that one, a virtual event, on the 13th of October at 7 to 9 p.m. The 14th will be, again, back at Garden of the Gods Visitor Center with the MISO folks. And then the 17th of October will also be at the Garden of the Gods Visitor Center with MISO. The times are the same, about around noon, 12 o'clock till 7 p.m. And you can come out and see all the different activities that we're doing out there with them.
Do you like being this busy?
I like it. I love it.
You like, he said, I love it. You should see the big Kool-Aid smile on his face, folks.
We're always looking at something different in the night sky.
Right.
So there's always something new to learn about what's going on in the world around us.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because I was about to say, well, is there anything new that's going on that you want to talk about? I mean, because, well, the sky is kind of the sky, and it does move, but is there anything new going on?
There's always something new. You know,
really?
One of the latest big discoveries is that there was a paper was held for several years before they released it, which means that they were trying to make sure they weren't wrong and making a mistake. Is they discovered a element called phosphine on in the atmosphere of Venus. And phosphine is something that we don't know of it being produced any other way than through biological means. Now, that doesn't mean that it's not or that it can't be.
It's just that we don't know.
It raises the question of, well, if it can only be produced through biological processes, may there be life in the atmosphere of Venus? And how would that happen to exist? Because the surface of Venus is 900 degrees and about 90 Earth pressures compared to, you know, what we experience. It'd be like being in a pressure cooker on the surface of Venus. And so it's but that doesn't mean that life couldn't be there as well. It just means that it's life
different.
That we're not familiar with.
Very true. Now, I was talking to somebody, I believe it was the other day, right? And they said that there is, or there may be, water on either Io or Europa, because there's they say that there's ice there, and then there might be liquid underneath the ice.
Yeah,
how cool is that?
It's extremely cool. It's
how come
really
we haven't gone there and checked it out yet? You know, put
We're
a little drill in there. Yeah, but that's a.
It takes a long time for us to develop the rockets, the robots with the right scientific instruments, with the right technologies to be able to go and do the science that we want to do there.
Really? Yeah. Okay. Because I know that...
It's a long process.
Okay, because I was thinking that we would either drill, but the gentleman I was talking to said we'd probably use a heating lamp.
Yeah, the first thing that we're going to have to do is we're going to have to send a orbiter. We're not even going to land on a first mission out to Europa. It's called the Europa Clipper.
Okay.
It's currently in development right now. There's a Europa lander being planned as well.
Right.
And that, you're right. They'll probably, if they were to... What they'll do is they would land on that with the lander. They'll land next to one of those cracks where the water is breaking through the ice and creating a fountain of material so they could sample that material. The ice is several kilometers thick. So we don't have something that we could, you know, send down a probe, you know, several kilometers through ice, you know, to get to that water. So we're going to go where the water's coming to us.
There we go. I like that. Now... Could we use the same technology we use, like they used to find fossils, and maybe put it there and sonar it and see how we did that, or are we already doing that?
Yeah, that's exactly what they're going to do initially is some of the devices, and I don't know all the names and the
technology. You're supposed to know all of this stuff, my man. You're supposed to have all the answers.
There's a lot to know about this universe that we live in.
Very true, very true. I'm teasing.
But yeah, they're sending up the Clipper, and that Clipper is going to orbit. It's actually not orbiting Europa. You would think, hey, we're going to Europa to investigate it. Why aren't we orbiting Europa? Well, Jupiter has a lot of radiation that it puts out that would harm humans. It'll harm our equipment. So what they're going to do instead is they're going to orbit around Jupiter with the orbits plan that it'll pass Europa a bunch of times.
Gotcha.
And so what that does is we go into the danger area of radiation around Jupiter and then pass out away from it. Europa's too close to the radiation where it's constantly in the radiation of Jupiter that the spacecraft wouldn't last as long as if they designed the orbital parameters so that it only comes into the radiation area
every now and then
to do their observation and then they come back out again.
Gotcha.
Reset.
So if that's the case, how are we going to do that with a lander? Because you see, James, because a lander is going to be in the hot zone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A couple of things. They can look at, you know, the protections and the radiation and do a lot more hardening of that spacecraft. That's one approach. I don't know if that's the approach that they're going to take. The other approach is they just acknowledge that even with the hardening, the spacecraft's only going to last a certain duration of time before the radiation corrupts the data and the memory and the CPU.
So if anything, we got to go down there. We got to move.
We got to move. Yeah, we got to get our science done and get that data back. And
because there's no second chance here.
Yeah.
Okay. How about that?
Not a place yet for us to look at going and living or something like
oh,
that.
Oh, definitely not. But definitely to find out if there's anything there.
But water is where we find life everywhere here on Earth. So where we see water out in our solar system and out in the universe is where we want to be looking for life, because that's the equivalent or analogous to us being here on Earth, is that probably where we'll find life is where we find water. So those are why we're looking at those places. The moon has water, Mars has water, Europa has water. There's several places that have water, and those are the places that Enceladus, which is a moon around Saturn, also has a similar type of geyser feature.
Really?
Like Europa does, but it's a lot further out.
Yes, yeah, a lot further out. Exactly.
So exactly. We'll look at those places to see if they have those signs of life. Because it's that ever-ending question that we've always want to have answered.
Of course, right? Because, I mean, there's well, you said, well, look at that. There's a galaxy right over there. Anybody there?
Yeah.
Who knows? I know I don't know. And then, so I don't know if this is above your pay grade or not, all right then? But are we going to ever crack time travel, or should we just forget about it?
I don't think we'll ever crack time travel. The issue is the speed of light is the
fastest that we know of so far. Because I'm thinking somebody finally developed that warp drive that we see in the movies, and then we'll be good.
We explore all of these things at csastro.org, but one of the things that, we look at is science is never over. It's never settled. We're constantly learning and discovering new things about the world around us. And that's the wonderful thing about doing astronomy and space science is no matter what, there's something else out there that's new to learn. So it's a wonderful thing to get involved, even if it's just taking your telescope out in your backyard and pointing it out and wondering what is that I'm looking at and getting a better understanding of the world around us.
Really cool. Thank you very much for joining us today. I had a very great great conversation with you. You can come back anytime you want.
All right.
We want to thank you for joining us on the Lunchbox today. Remember, if you want to feature yourself or your business on the Lunchbox, please do give us shoot us an email at info@blazin985.com. We'll see you tomorrow.
That rocks.